Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, we'll try to pick up where we were last week. Matthew 11, verse 16 through 19. Jesus is speaking. He was asked about John the Baptist, and this is the continuation of his answer. "But whereunto, or to what, shall I liken or compare this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling to their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, or played music for you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and you say, He has a devil. The Son of Man," or Jesus himself, "came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a gluttonous man, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." Heavenly Father, help us to understand the Word of God as we try to study it. Please speak to our hearts. Give us supernatural understanding of the text, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw the last 2 or 3 weeks. This chapter, it talks about John the Baptist, but we studied for 68 different lessons. We studied about John the Baptist, so I don't want to dwell on him so much. But I want to take a look at the Lord's answer when he's asked, "Hey, what about John?" And again, we could read all the verses, but let's just look at his answer. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you're a new Christian like I was, 40 years ago. I got saved. I said, "Hey, I've got a Bible, let me read it." And I read Matthew, and it's fantastic. And then I read Mark, and it's fantastic. And then I get to Luke, and what, this is the same stuff. I mean, it's fantastic, but it's the same stuff. Matthew, Mark, Luke are the synoptic gospels. Synoptic, the Greek words where we get our word synchronized, and these three are synchronized. Then John is completely and utterly different, but it has to do with perspective. And I've said often, and others have taught, that the four Gospels we have give different perspectives. The three synoptics are from the perspective of Jesus is man, or Jesus became a man, what have you. John is different because John shows us Jesus from the perspective of Jesus is God. And we know he's 100% man and 100% God. But in our comparing and looking at Matthew itself, we see that Jesus is shown to us as the King of Israel. And as a king, he comes into his kingdom and he comes to take account. And part of the message of Matthew, hey, I'm King of the Jews. How come you Jews didn't measure up? How have you taken the law and turned it all around? And you've got the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they argue this and they argue that. And the little guy, he gets squashed. Instead of the simple message, hey, live right in your heart, the Pharisees have a bunch of rules, and I talked about rules last time. But again, Jesus comes as a king to take account. And as you continue to study Matthew and the other Gospels, which I hope that we can continue, but especially in Matthew, it shows the king came, the people didn't measure up, and he says, well, I'm gonna set these guys aside, because they didn't do what I asked them to do. I'm going to set other people up. And the other people, we understand, is the church. Not the Roman Catholic Church or the Southern Baptist Convention or you name it. No. The church, which is made up of born-again believers. And he sets, if you want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, he sets leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists. And in the local church, he's got pastors and the teaching staff. And these lead the church. These lead the invisible church. All the structure that we see and all the trappings, we understand the cardinal, he wears red, for instance. Well, that's not in the Bible. That's just not in the Bible. But what I teach and what you should follow is the Bible as opposed to religious rules, religious organization, religious hierarchy. None of that stuff is where our focus should be. But the king comes into his kingdom to take account. We understand that Jesus came. The Old Testament said he was going to come. In fact, John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet, says, hey, the Old Testament said he was coming, he's coming, he's coming. Well, guess what? He's here. There he is. Behold the Lamb of God that the Old Testament prophesied about, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And we understand that our sin can be purged, can be washed away, because Jesus died on the cross for us. And our sins, our guilt, our lifetime of oops, all of that can be handled as we put our faith and trust in Jesus and understand that he died in our place. But the message of Matthew, hey, the king is coming. And in this chapter, Jesus said, well, how am I going to describe this generation, the one that the king comes to? It's like children in the marketplace. And, you know, we have rouses and we have whatever, and things are different. Kids can't just run wild in the aisles. He's talking about in the streets. Because back then they didn't have air conditioning, everything was in the street. But the kids playing, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to entertain ourselves? Because they're kids. Well, let's play, hey, we're going to sing, we're going to make merry, but you didn't dance. Hey, that didn't work. Let's try. Let's pretend it's a funeral. We're going to mourn unto you, but you haven't lamented. There was no sadness in your heart. And he's saying, hey, you're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. You know, Jesus came from heaven. You would think that somebody would be satisfied. Hey, Jesus came from heaven. The central focus, the central event of the entire history of the world is that Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a manger and later died on the cross. That's the centrality of all human history, is Christ came. Well, we played music and you didn't dance, and we did a funeral dirge, funeral procession, and you didn't play along, you didn't lament. You're not satisfied. You're not satisfied. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, you call him a drunkard. John, he didn't eat or drink anything, and you said he was full of the devil. I mean, make up your mind. Jesus is saying, God has done all he can ever do. God has done all he can ever do in that he sent his Son to die in your place. Will you respond? Will you respond? So many things distract us from hearing the Word of God. Yes, you can read it yourself. Yes, you can put on a worship CD, I guess you call it. Yes, you can find somebody on YouTube. But mostly we're distracted. And even when we're listening to those things, we're still half distracted. We've got Facebook. We've got TV, or I got Roku now, and man, that blows my little mind. I'm sitting watching decades-old series of English crime fighting, and it's completely different, and it's great. But it's a distraction. You've got false teachers, or let's put it as the apostle said, you've got itching ears, and people or preachers or false teachers would come and tickle your ear, or say something nice and flashy and distractive, like, if you send me $100, God will give you back 10,000, 100-fold return. Well, God is not a slot machine, sorry to say. We don't give to get. We give to help others and to further the gospel. And our reward should be in heaven. That's where we should be looking for our reward and for life everlasting. It ought to be in heaven. The prosperity message is absolutely and utterly bankrupt. Bankrupt. And it's rooted in covetousness. You know, thou shalt not covet. And these that preach all these great things, all these wonderful things, there's no discipleship. There's certainly no suffering. They won't mention that. They won't act in humility, nor ask you to be humble. And they don't talk about heaven. And they certainly won't mention hell. But today we're distracted, and I've said this often. I'm 61 years old. When I was a kid, fine, I guess we could go and watch TV a little bit until Mama ran me out of the house. Hey, go play in the yard or something. Get out of the house. Certainly don't waste your life in front of the TV. We didn't have cell phones. We had time to think. We had time to be bored. But we had time to think and to reflect on things. But now it's, ooh, squirrel! Ooh, look, another squirrel! And we chase all these things, we're all distracted. But Jesus is coming. That is the message of John the Baptist. Well, hey, he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he went back to heaven, but one day he's coming back, and guess what? Jesus is coming. You know, when Herod, when he heard that Jesus had been born, Matthew chapter 2, I could read it, he asked the wise men, King Herod did, where is Jesus, the King of the Jews, born? They had seen the star in the east, you know the story. And he asked all the chief priests and the scribes, and the scribes, their job was the Word of God, to make sure it was copied and copied correctly and handled properly and respected. Copied, because there was no printing press, they had to do it by hand, and paper or whatever it was, papyrus or whatever they used, it wears out. And so they had to copy and copy, and that was their job, to copy the Word of God. Herod said, hey, scribes, you know the book. Where's Jesus coming from? Where's he going to be born? And they looked up startled and said, hey, you talking to us? We're busy. Oh, yeah, in Bethlehem of Judea. Yeah, but look, we got to get back to copying the Bible. Not, hey, Jesus is coming. You're right, King. I want to go worship him too. No. No. And again, today the message is Jesus is coming back. But just like those scribes, we today yawn. It's not important. It's not important. The greatest thing that ever happened on planet Earth is that Jesus came. And the second greatest thing is that he's coming again. And we don't have just the Old Testament, we have the New. Both say that, hey, he's coming back. He's coming back. Matthew chapter 25, the 10 virgins. You know the story. They had lamps, and it was the old-time hurricane lamp, with a bowl full of oil and a wick, and you had to do it the hard way. 5 wise, 5 foolish. The foolish, they had their lamps, but it didn't take any oil. And don't we know, during a hurricane, if you got a generator, that's good for a while, 4 or 5 hours, but you got to go put gas in it because it runs out. These oil lamps, the oil, you have to have extra oil, and they didn't have any. But it's interesting. Matthew 25, verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The foolish virgins that didn't have any oil, they slept, but the wise ones that had extra bowls of oil, extra gas cans for the generator, let's say, everybody slumbered and slept. And that's where we are today, asleep. Jesus is coming back. That's the message. Yet we're all asleep. And at midnight, a cry went out. The bridegroom comes. Hey, Jesus is coming. Let's go out to meet him. And everybody woke up. The virgins woke up, and they, you know, make sure the lamps are burning right. They got to trim them, and it's complicated. But the ones with no oil, they had to go to the marketplace, wake somebody up, says, hey, you know, I need to buy some oil. Jesus is coming. The bridegroom is coming. But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Jesus came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. If you're not ready, if you're not looking for the return of Christ, you're going to miss it. I don't want to get into the theology of it, the rapture or not the rapture or this or that. I want to say that if you're not looking for him, if you're not ready, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And he says, watch therefore in verse 13, for you don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Now, Facebook can be good. Television can be good. There are some good preachers on TV and YouTube and whatever. There are some good churches in town. I hope I go to a good one. But I'm looking for the Lord. I want to focus on the Lord. And I want to try to live the best that I can from the Bible. I want to be ready when he comes. I'm not going to trust in my denomination to tell me the right thing. I'm not going to trust in my bishop or whatever to tell me, hey, you're going to be all right. You're going to go to heaven. I want to know Jesus myself. And I want to read the Bible for myself to make sure that what I hear on YouTube and whatever, or the church down the street, is telling me the right thing. And that's a hard message. That's a message that no one really wants to hear. You know, I sing in the choir, and, you know, and, well, that's great. I'm glad you do. But for too many, that's the focus, is the things they do, and not the person they do it for. I know it's a hard message. I know it's a message nobody wants. But it's the message of the Bible. That your focus should be on Christ. That your eyes should be on Christ. That your heart should be set on Christ. You could read, for instance, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and it tells about our heart. It says, get your heart right. Do things right in your heart. Live for God as if he was watching, because he is. Live as though how you thought and acted and how you treat others matters, because it does. Don't be like these children in the marketplace, bored and trying to figure out what to do. Oh, I know, let's have a party. Nobody comes. Oh, well, let's throw a funeral. Nobody comes. And honestly, when you think of that story, it'll blow your mind. But let's keep our eyes on Christ. Let's try to the best of our ability to do the right thing in our hearts according to what the book tells us. Well, how do you know what the... Well, all you got to do is read it. That's how you know what it says. Read it. Pick it up. Dust it off. Start in Matthew and read. Take a chapter a day. Take a chapter a week. I don't care, but read. And see what the Lord says. And purpose in your heart, Lord, I want to obey you. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, You can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.